on another Monday night. It's Business Advisory Community Radio on BACR 100.9. Hello, Robin. How are you?
Hi, Pete. I am fantastic on this Monday evening. How about yourself?
I am very, very good. Thank you very much. It's Business Advisory Community Radio. It's none of our business and all about yours.
And it's all about your business tonight because we have had an overflowing mailbox this week. Earlier this week, we posted about conflict resolution on our Facebook page, asking for your feedback, asking for your experiences, and boy, did we get some. So thank you for sending those in, and that's what we're talking about tonight.
Hopefully that influx of email about conflict resolution didn't require us to use our own conflict resolution skills, or was it all relatively conflict-free, the feedback about us?
It was conflict-free.
Okay, good, good. Well, it's a touchy subject for some people, and it is a relevant subject not just for business, but also for personal life. So people listening that may not use conflict resolution in their day-to-day business may also get something out of this show for their day-to-day.
I think it's a lot like the word argument or argue.
Oh, yeah.
Not a lot of people like the word argue because it can signal conflict or disturbance or being unsettled or making people feel uncomfortable.
A lot of negativity around it.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't sit in that camp.
No. Nope.
I like a good bit of argument. I think argument gives purpose. It flushes out new ideas. To argue is about putting your point of view, your views across, and being able to debate them out. So I like to use the word argue and debate more interchangeably than argue and conflict.
If you'd like to argue with any of the points that we raised this evening, you can get in touch with us a number of ways. If you're listening live on community radio, you can give us a call in the studio, 9793.
109.
Oh, good. I did remember it correctly. Robin is also on Facebook and Twitter over there as well.
Our Facebook address is BACR on BACR. You can also find us at Business Advisory Community Radio. That's how we've had most of your feedback through the week. So we monitor it regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And please drop us a line.
Although we've got a number of questions to answer this evening, we still have time to answer any new ones that we get in throughout the course of the show. So as we do now, Robin, before we kick off and talk about conflict resolution, it's time for one of my most favourite parts of the week. You know what I would say it's the first or second favourite part of the week is. It's right up there. It's called Joke of the Week. And I take the cream of the crop. I ask the joke directors. I was going for joke gods or joke directors. I went for directors. And if I'm half as good at nailing this joke as I am about announcing it, it's going to be really good. This week's joke of the week. A sales rep, an administration clerk, and a manager are all walking to lunch when they find an antique oil lamp. They rub it, as you do, and a genie comes out in a puff of smoke. The genie says, I usually only grant 3 wishes, so I'll give each of you 1 wish each. Me first, says the admin clerk. I want to be in the Bahamas driving a speedboat without a care in the world. Your wish is my command. Poof, she's gone. In astonishment, the sales rep shouts, Me next. I want to be in Hawaii, relaxing on the beach with my personal masseuse, an endless supply of pina coladas and the love of my life. Your wish is my command. Pff. He's gone as well. The genie goes to the manager. Okay, you're up. The manager thinks about it for a moment and says with confidence, I want those 2 back in the office after lunch.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, my sound effect didn't even work.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for a bit of a boom tish.
Oh.
got there.
Glad we waited for that one. Thank you very much for allowing me that opportunity to tell you joke of the week.
I can see some conflict occurring after lunch.
I'm having some conflict resolution to do with those sound effects. We'll take that one up. So as we said, we received a number of questions about conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can answer any of these and help businesses in the Bankstown and Auburn community for which we are here to support in providing management, advice, leadership, business, counselling, anything to do with your business. So the first question we received, it reads like this, Robin. I've been running a business for years as a sole trader and now need to employ staff. A very common scenario in the Bankstown and Auburn community. I'm concerned that I've never really been good at telling people what to do, as I don't handle aggressive situations and conflict very well. Are there basics that I should be focusing on? So that's the first question that we got in. I guess when people think about conflict resolution, obviously it's about people, because people are one of the hardest things to manage because it's not exactly scientific.
Unpredictable.
Things that are predictable are easy to manage. Unfortunately, we kind of need people. So we have to try and manage the unpredictable.
And the good thing about people is that they are unpredictable.
Yes, that's right. I guess to look at this question then, this writer is concerned that they've never really been good at telling people what to do. So that's the mindset they're coming into and thinking that, I guess firstly, it could be a question about how they approach management in general. Not too often. I guess being a sole trader, they've built up their business from the ground, let's say, and it's a great thing that they're in a position now that they've got so much work that obviously they've assessed that they do certainly need more people. And when they've got to that point, they say, okay, it's about how... We need to first think about how you're going to use those people and what the purpose of those people are. And I think you need to think about that and be clear about that and be clear about it to the person that you're hiring about what it is they're supposed to be doing, why they're there, and how it fits into the business. And I think firstly that you can avoid any kind of conflict about confusion about what needs to be done quite early in the piece.
And I think that's where a lot of confusion and conflict can start by having unclear objectives. And if someone doesn't understand what it is that they should be doing, what it is that they need to be doing, and understand how it needs to be done and to what level and standard, that person can then become frustrated and confused, perhaps a little bit scared about how to approach something, how to complete a task. They might ask a lot of questions, which in turn then frustrates the other person, and there's a common source of conflict.
I think as well what they'll do often is try and just make their own goals based on how they assess the situation. You get thrown into a situation and there's no communication and telling what you're supposed to do, you're going to make up some reason why you're there and just go for what you think you're supposed to be doing.
So if conflict is something that you're trying to avoid or you're not sure how to manage it, think about how you go about your everyday life.
Okay.
This situation, you've been running your business for years, so you've been able to articulate your needs and your wants and be clear and specific to be able to run a profitable business where you've been able to build your customer base and are now in a position where you can seek to take on an employee. To do that, you've had to have a certain level of assertive behavior, have clear directive instructions about what it is that you're after. All of those things go a long way in preventing a conflicting situation and being able to set clear, targeted objectives. So conflict is all about communication. You can have lots of situations that can end in conflict, or with the right kinds of communication, can end positively.
Yeah, I guess as well, it's conflict can be good. It doesn't, like you said earlier, there's that connotation that if there is conflict, it means that something has gone terribly wrong, and it needs to be quashed almost, and you know, let's try and settle everyone down, and you know, let's just be harmonious. Let's all just get along.
Yeah, and it's important to understand what kind of an employee you're looking for, what kind of a business it is that you're running, and who it is that you're looking for to join. If you're looking for someone who is going to come in and you say do this, they say yes, be clear about that when you hire them, that this is not a partnership, that you have specific things that you want them to do in quite specific ways that they need to meet.
What happens if, because I know that in an ideal world, it's great to be able to sit down and think about all those things. But often in a small business or as a sole trader, everything is just so hectic that you just need more hands and you just want, you know what they need to do. I just need someone in to do it for me. I guess in those situations, you still need to be clear on what they're doing.
You need to be clear on what they're doing and have that conversation up front.
Yeah.
And you can also avoid some conflict that comes from those scenarios by seeking and hiring the right skill level. It's quite easy to get a first-year apprentice because they will follow your instructions to the letter. They possibly haven't really figured out the mechanics or the technical elements behind the job. So they're not really going to stray too far, but do they have the right skill set to execute the task in the way that you need?
And what are their expectations of the role as well?
Yeah. I mean, personally, for me, in my business, I don't want a yes person. I want somebody who will bring their own ideas and have a different opinion to myself. In my line of work, having a sounding board where someone can say, no, I don't think that's right, have you thought about this, is exactly what my business needs. I've got colleagues in the same organization who don't like working with that style of person because it doesn't fit their management style, it doesn't fit their business, and it doesn't suit their needs. So I guess different courses for horses.
Yes, indeed. If you've got any questions that you would like to write in and have us talk about, or give us a call and we can put you on air, 97931009. It's Business Advisory Community Radio, supporting business in the Bankstown and Auburn community. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening. Get on Facebook, get on Twitter and ask us some questions. We're going to take a short break and we will be right back in just a second.
Covering the areas of Auburn and Bankstown, this is your local station, 100.9 2BACR.
Well, that was a very short break. And we're right back.
In just a second.
It was actually about 9.5 seconds. So it's all about conflict resolution this evening, Robin.
It is. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We've got a bit of a different take on conflict resolution. Or on the topic of conflict in general.
In general, it's not just about how to resolve it, but firstly, to understand how to resolve it, you need to understand what it is.
And whether or not you want it.
I sometimes like a bit of conflict in the office, not just for the sport, but for the results.
Gets people thinking.
And it's a lot of fun.
The right kind of conflict.
It's a good story to tell after work if you've had a fun day and a bit of conflict.
Well, for a lot of people who are quite competitive in nature, then conflict can be quite an encouraging thing when managed correctly. We're not talking about the negative, nasty, spiteful, backstabbing, kind of secretive kind of conflict. That's not the conflict that we're talking about or encouraging.
Mm.
We're talking about the type of conflict that will encourage you to do more. Mm. That's a bit motivating.
Mm. We'll be talking all about it right up until 8 o'clock, Sydney. Is that Eastern Standard Time?
It is now. Summertime is over. So,
judging by the beanies and the jumpers in the studio this evening, it certainly is. Robin, this is now my that other favourite time of the show. It is random stats. Stats. So that sound effect, it's right on cue. Random stats is all about random stats. It's the miscellaneous stuff that you go, oh, I didn't know that, or isn't that interesting, or how did they get a grant to research that and then get percentages and numbers out of it. As always, I've got two for you, Robin. Are you ready?
As I ever will be.
Mm-hmm. To get consumers to spend more, try turning up the lights. That's the takeaway message from this. Let me explain.
It's not dim the lights so they can't see the price?
Oh, no.
Oh,
quite the opposite.
Okay.
Blast up the lights so they can see it. Or make it too bright so they can't see. No, no, no. University students who were in a room containing a sun lamp were willing to pay 38% more for green tea, 21% more for a carton of orange juice, 27% more for a gym membership, and 29% more for an airline ticket. Oh, hang on. And 56% more for a newspaper subscription in comparison to students who were questioned without a sun lamp.
Wonder how that translates to, like, Nordic countries.
Oh. Well,
you know where they don't have daylight? Well, they've got very short hours of daylight each.
I believe this study was done in the UK, if I'm not mistaken.
Hmm.
Where if they get a bit of sun, they'll be pretty happy.
Maybe they're out celebrating. Makes them think of summer, makes them think of holidays. And
cider. I just think of people in the UK drinking cider. But yes, the findings from the study were that sun affects mood, which in turn affects spending.
Good old vitamin D.
Yeah, that's right. So the research suggests that retailers might be able to reduce negative feelings that customers might have on bad weather days by increasing light levels in your shop.
Yeah.
So maybe if you're dealing with, like, conflict resolution with customers, just take them outside. That's probably not a good start.
I wouldn't
recommend. Do you want to take it outside? I've heard this is good. Peter and Robin said it was the thing I need to do.
I'd just like to correct that Peter was alone in that.
Take it outside.
And I also wouldn't recommend shining a heat lamp
In their face. Interrogation style.
Yeah.
Mm.
Stay away from those ones. But interesting, because I have always thought about price tags and things like that. And for me, if I really feel that I need to ask the price of something, probably can't afford it.
It's usually the rule.
Yeah. If I can't pigeonhole how much I think something is, then I'm either not that familiar with the product to be able to ballpark it, or I'm probably not prepared to spend as much as what I think they're going to ask.
You're not talking about where if you're in like a $2 shop and it just doesn't have the price on it. Because then that would kind of, like, it might be like one of those soap dispensers.
Well, I'd assume that it was $2.
Oh, yeah. Well, Unless it wasn't called the $2 shop. Unless it was called...
Well, used to be called the $1 shop.
Well, that's right. And now they're just called some kind of miscellaneous...
Dollar store.
There'll be dollars involved in your purchase. That's usually what they're saying. I also thought that this theory wouldn't really work for, you know, those gothic record stores. Because if your target market are, like, metalheads and goths, I wouldn't recommend sunlight.
Well, hopefully they've had sunlight on the way into.
No, usually they find like a underground way.
Right.
They're like hermit crabs.
Right. No offense to any of our metal crab type listeners.
Speaking of outside.
Yes.
You've heard the saying, think outside the box?
I have.
If you hadn't heard it in management, you're not in management.
I need to review my synergies.
Well, thinking outside the box is more than just a metaphor. Random stat number two. In a study of the physical embodiment of metaphors, people who literally sat outside a box, and in this study it was a box made of cardboard and plastic pipe, people that sat outside the box generated 32% more correct answers in a test. So they had a choice of sitting inside or outside the box. The ones that sat outside the box did better at the test.
Do you know where this comes from, right?
Tell me.
Well, you've got one group of people who want to sit inside the box.
Mm.
And another group of people who want to sit outside of the box.
Mm.
My first reaction was that, you know, to be able to want to sit inside a box to do a test in the first place, well, that's a bit of a leading thought. But to think, I moved on from that and thought, well, perhaps that first person who sat inside the box to do a test wrote the answers on the box. Or in the box, I should say. And then everybody copied from there.
You know what the test was? The test was to... They were repeatedly asked to think of a word that related to three given words.
Do you have an example?
I don't have an example of one they use, but I guess one would be if I said to you, French fries,
mm-hmm.
thick shake,
yeah,
and wrapper.
Yes.
What is the word that I'm thinking of?
Dinner.
Potentially, I was thinking hamburger.
Mm.
Cheeseburger, to be specific.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the association. But I don't know how you'd have a right answer to that. I don't know whether I'd really be bothered looking into it, but according to the study, that's what it was. And so their findings were eliminations they eliminated all the factors, and basically they concluded that the creativity of effects of thinking outside the box are more than metaphorical. So really, I struggle to think how this was funded. But then again, it was a box made out of cardboard and plastic pipe. So the funding was probably pretty minimal.
Yes.
Agreed. We're moving on. It's Business Advisory Community Radio on Bankstown Auburn Community Radio. It's Peter and Robin Birch. We're talking about conflict resolution, conflict in the workplace, how to identify it, what to do with it, how to overcome it if you need to overcome it. We've received a number of questions. We answered one of them earlier, and we've got one in front of me right now. The question reads as follows. I am thinking of organizing for my staff to do personality tests so we can work better with each other. My theory is if we know what each of our personality is like, we will have less conflict in the workplace. I've heard that Myers-Briggs is the best. What do you think?
There's a number of questions that sit within that, Peter. And a number of perspectives.
Yes. It's kind of like, where do you begin? I guess we could begin with the question itself. Wanting to do personality tests so they can work better with each other.
That is one way to go. And it is important to understand what types of personalities you have, what type of people you have in the workplace, because it is important to be able to balance the right people. For example, a business full of type A people will have very strong ideals and very strong ideas of what they should be doing and where they should be going, but perhaps not as much follow through and action as you would if you had a mixture or a few less type A's.
That's what a type A is, yeah.
Yeah, so a type A personality is somebody who is very dominant, usually in quite senior positions, is able to articulate a message, get it across, and often, not always, but is in a leadership role.
Okay. I guess there's a type B personality.
There is a type B. I think there's a... It goes through quite a number of letters. That's for another show.
That's right. We could do a whole show on personality tests. But I guess from my perspective, I see value in personality tests or psychometric testing as a useful tool for yourself to understand how you work and who you are, and maybe to help align yourself and identify some things that maybe you couldn't identify before, that you kind of go, oh, okay, yeah, sure, I get it. What I don't like is when people use those tests as a guide then to manage other people. So you get your all your subordinates to do the tests, give me the results so I can then look at them and then manage by those and use them like a reference book.
Yeah.
It's a bit of fun to do, well, you know, and it could be useful maybe to discuss and use them as discussion points and then go from that and then make your own decisions. But I think that too often people can go back to them and say, well, I'm going to pull out their psychometric test. I've got to have a conversation with Joe. I'm going to pull out their psychometric test first to see if I can predict how they're going to react. What is wrong with that? It depends how Joe was feeling at the time when they completed the test, firstly. Yeah. Joe could have done it first thing in the morning. They may be really good in the morning at, you know, maybe really switched on. They may have done it while they're playing Angry Birds. You don't know. You know, unless it's done in a controlled environment. Usually these things are done online and you answer a bunch of questions. It depends on the mood of the person at that particular time. They do look at the repeatability, the how, you know, if someone were to do a test twice, how accurate would it be? And they rate personality tests, and often they don't do too well. There's only a few that do okay in terms of, hey, if you do this once today and then once again in 2 weeks, you'll get the same answer.
And I think that's quite difficult to achieve, and there's not many personality tests that I could think of that have that rating. And in the rating does have a name, but it just escapes me.
Coefficient Alphas, I think.
At the moment, I believe that's correct.
The Coefficient Alpha, yes, it just came to me for some reason.
So you're asking about Myers-Briggs. You've heard that it's the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's very popular.
Yeah.
Myers-Briggs is a series of questions that will, they're very nondescript, asking you about what kind of people you like, what kind of scenarios, what kind of, you know, fruit do you prefer, what's your favourite colour, do you prefer inside, outside, do you prefer sunny days, rainy days, the snow, what's your perfect kind of holidays?
I've answered these in my head, by the way. Do you need my answers, but like, will you be able to mark that for me, please?
No, I'm not a qualified Myers-Briggs, I think they're Myers-Briggs technicians, but the output of a Myers-Briggs test gives you two variables, or two labels, if we can call them that.
Mm-hmm.
And each label on its own has its own definition and its own, I guess, personality. And then you put those two together and it makes up a compound personality. So, Peter, you and I, for example, could have, I think they start with letters. So as part of this compound, you and I could both have an E.
Mm-hmm.
But with the other three letters that go with it, we could be very different, almost opposite type people.
Mm.
Or we could be very, very similar.
Mm.
So my take on personality tests is they're a little bit of fun.
Yep.
As much fun as the high school quizzes that you might have done when you were younger or that you look at when you're waiting in the doctor's surgery.
Yep.
But don't take too much stock in them. If you're reading them as an individual, you may look at things and say, oh, that sounds like me. That sounds like me. Yes, that's me. Don't take those three elements and say, right, this is defining me as a person and this is the person I am in the workplace. Look at it, say, yes, okay, maybe put it aside. And when you come back to it in a week or two, you'll notice more things that either are very much like you or that aren't like you.
Yeah. And I guess as well, the results of those personality tests are only as good as the answers that are given to them. So if I were to receive a personality test from my boss and I was in a workplace where I wasn't, it was very small, maybe it was a small group, and I wasn't comfortable in sharing that information too much or sharing how I really felt, I may just game the system in answering how I think I should be answering. And then all of a sudden, if you're then managing by the results of that test, and not paying attention to that person, then it's all kind of a big waste of time and money. So, yes, I agree. Bit of fun, as Robin said. And good for maybe even at a... Usually you find you do them before conferences and then you get to talk about them at conferences.
It's a bit of an icebreaker.
Yeah. The other one, sorry, that I'm quite familiar with, not a Myers-Briggs, would be a DISC profile.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of just gives you the same kind of information but in a different way, and then tells you how it tells you whether you're a D, an I, or an S, or a C, and then how you work with, if you're an S, tells you how you might interact with a D, or so the D's are quite dominant while an S is quite supportive, and how you may get along, what conflicts you may have, and how to overcome them. So it kind of gives you suggestions on what you can do. Again, it just gives you a good read, but, you know, take it with a grain of salt, so to speak. And
yeah, I mean, look, whatever type of test you're going to do, look into its origins and make sure that it's founded on something. Myers-Briggs, for example, was created by a housewife called Isabel Briggs Myers, and she didn't have a psychological background when she created it.
Mm.
And it was something that was seen to be quite adaptive, quite translatable into a number of scenarios, and was picked up quite quickly. People who are not so keen on personality tests would tend to liken them to astrology.
Yes.
Where they're written so that everyone can find something that is familiar and personal.
Like your horoscope.
Yes.
Mm. So, yeah, so often they read like that and you see people and they read and go, oh, this is exactly me. But then you could pick those answers up and give them to someone else and they'll probably say, oh, this is exactly me as well.
Yeah, so I mean, you've got four letter combinations in the type indicators or profiles from Myers-Briggs. There's only so many combinations you can do of that. And I can guarantee you that there's more personality types than those four letters afford.
Business Advisory Community Radio is all about supporting businesses in the Bankstown and Auburn community. It's none of our business and all about yours. Peter and Robin Birch, we're here until 8 o'clock this evening. Stay tuned, we're talking more about conflict and conflict management. Give us a call in the studio, 97931009, or get in touch with us on Facebook or Twitter, BACR on BACR. We'll be right back after a short break.
Covering the areas of Auburn and Bankstown, this is your local station, 100.9 2BACR.
Last year in New South Wales, there were more than 2.4 million drivers randomly selected for a breath test.
Sir, I'm afraid you're over.
Will you blow it today? Drink driving. It's a crime. A message from the RTA.
Covering the areas of Auburn and Bankstown, this is your local station, 100.9 2BACR.
Business Advisory Community Radio, none of our business and all about yours. It's Peter and Robin Birch.
Conflict, conflict, conflict.
It's something some people love and some people hate.
The people who really love it, really love it. I'm not sure I really love it. I don't like conflict, but I don't dislike the positive outcomes that it can generate. Conflict can not only bring about new ideas, but it can challenge people to think about their own views and perhaps get them to look at it in a new perspective. But not all conflict has that purpose. Not all conflict is generated towards building a cohesive, energized, engaged type of workplace. Sometimes conflict can be quite difficult, detrimental. Bullying is a word that comes to mind when thinking about conflict in the workplace. And these are some very serious things that you need to be able to identify and manage.
Yes, it's what you're speaking about directly relates to one of the questions we received, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read it out. I have a staff member who does a great job at things when he works by himself, but when he needs to do tasks with other people, it always turns into a drama. I try to get him to see the importance of teamwork, but he just doesn't listen. Any ideas on how to handle it? So we talked about can be seen, I guess, when you've got people working with other people, mm-hmm. and perhaps for one reason or other they don't get along, the subject of bullying can come up, whether it's, you know, that this single person that we're speaking about, whether when they say they don't get along or it turns into a drama, some people could see that as bullying.
There's a big scale.
Yes.
I think that you need to identify in conflict.
Mm.
I mean, so far we've been talking about quite the positive side.
Yep.
But there is quite a dark and nasty side to conflict. And being able to quickly identify where that sits and what it looks like is crucial to you not only being able to continue to run your business, but to be able to run it in the manner with which you'd want to.
So let's take, for example, with this person that's written in, and say they're working on a project, and this person is often, I find, not trying to be stereotypical, but I find that the person that's very the product expert, or maybe within a group, is someone that you need because they know how to run a machine or, you know, run a program, and that's their specialty. But maybe they just don't deal well with people because their work is that they manage this machine. So you need them because they're really good at running this thing. But any time that someone tries to speak to them or work with them, it's like pulling teeth. It's aggressive. It's you have that feeling you have that sinking feeling in your stomach before you go and speak to them and say, oh, I don't want to put up with this. Or you get all hyped up when you go to speak to them and thinking, oh, this is going to be another fight, even before a word has been said.
Yeah, you're setting yourself up for an outcome that you're not even sure if it's going to eventuate. And I guess some examples that people might be familiar with that kind of sit in this category. I mean, television shows are littered with these types of personalities or these types of people and this type of conflict because, you know, as this listener says, it's drama.
Yeah.
You know, there's always drama when you've got that type of person because you've got the conflict, you know, excuse the pun, of needing to have them there and the conflict of what they bring or take away from the team.
Yeah.
So if anyone's seen the television show, I don't think it's on anymore, but House.
Oh, yeah.
So Dr. House was a very... he was a medical genius who was able to solve these problems that nobody else could.
Mm-hmm.
But because he could do that, he had a self-perception that the rules didn't apply to him because he was special. Mm. Another one that's common throughout history, recently articulated on the television show Elementary, Sherlock Holmes. So he's an obnoxious kind of guy who can get away with just about anything he wants because it's always for the good, it's always for the right reasons, but, you know, the social interaction is perhaps not there.
Mm.
And whilst it may be okay to the person or the bully, it's not okay to those people who are working alongside of them.
Mm.
And it shouldn't be okay to anybody who has visibility over that either.
Mm. Well, I guess it's the... the responsibility of a manager is to ensure that, to a point, that there's harmony within a team, that everyone has the right to be comfortable at work in terms of and not feel threatened.
Mm.
And it's imperative for a manager, despite if you've got someone that is remarkably good, is your House, is your Sherlock Holmes, if they're causing other people grief within the business or making other people's lives harder, then that's a problem.
Yeah, and it's everyone's responsibility. So under the Australian legislation, everybody has a responsibility to prevent bullying. And that can come in the form of be aware of what you see in your workplace and make sure that it's reported. Mm. Bullying is, it really resounds in power and an imbalance of power. It's either somebody trying to gain power or also trying to take it away from somebody.
Mm.
And it's about intimidation, coercion, really just trying to unsettle somebody through an inappropriate means.
Mm. It's not just up to the manager to sort it out. It is certainly their responsibility, but it's also others' responsibility as well to report these kinds of instances, and everyone takes responsibility for bullying.
Yeah, and I mean, you do need to approach it. You can't just hope that it goes away.
Yes.
There are, I think, Workplace Australia. We'll run sessions for workplaces, and there's information on the website which we can give you towards the end of the show, and we'll post on the page. But there are steps that the individual should go through, whether you feel that you yourself have been bullied, whether you've witnessed somebody else be bullied, or you've had an event or something be reported to you, there's responsibilities within each of those.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be aware. There are quite heavy penalties if you don't take action and something's been reported to you. So, you know, be aware, be informed, and make sure that you're following the right steps. And in this situation, you know, you do need to have a discussion. with somebody. I don't know if the scenario here is about bullying or it's, you know, just somebody being socially awkward.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Difficult, which could be another scenario altogether. But the first thing I would do in this situation is get the person and have a chat. Understand from them, do they see any problem with the behaviour that you've observed or that they've been exhibiting?
What if they say no?
If they don't see a problem with it, I would give examples of things that I had personally witnessed.
Yep.
Hearsay, you know, yes, something has been, you know, it can come through an employee, it can come through lots of different ways. But when you have the conversation, always be prepared to give examples.
Yes.
And something that you can stand on or justify, or if it hasn't come directly to you or you haven't seen it directly, it's been reported to you, you know, be prepared that you need to explain, not necessarily by saying X person told me,
no,
but be prepared that you do need to give them some examples, because they may not see a problem.
Yeah.
At all to be identified.
And there are two sides to a story, I guess.
Yes.
So that is important. Actually, I might rope this question in as well to the same conversation that we're having. This one is from Cassandra, who writes, My husband owns a construction business and is quite successful. He often needs to direct contractors on building sites to make sure things go to plan. The thing is, he can come off quite aggressive, and not everyone appreciates that. I'm worried that one day he'll meet someone as aggressive as him, and the world will explode. I have never really raised it with him before. Should I? This is from the a wife of someone that has recognized that, I guess, could be a family business. Maybe they just help out, or maybe they just hear about the stories afterwards. But I guess that's interesting, actually, within an industry where being direct is the norm, often for safety reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be soft and fluffy on a construction site and ask people what they think they should be doing.
Yeah, when they're falling under, you know,
yes,
some scaffolding that's insecure.
Mm. So you need to be, that is good management, to be direct to look out for their safety.
Mm.
But as well, I guess there's, you need to be aware in how you're doing that and how you're being perceived as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a please and a thank you goes a long way.
Yep.
How you approach a situation can often be more impactful to what you actually say.
Yeah.
So what's the relationship like already?
Mm.
You say here that he goes to building sites to make sure things go to plan. I'm not sure if he regularly works on those sites. Perhaps there's not much of a scenario where a relationship can be formed.
Yeah.
It's
the first time that he's met them, and it's just...
Yeah.
Bang.
And some people, you know, first impressions can last, but first impressions are not always accurate. A couple of, you know, different scenarios come to mind when we talk through how an impression can come off. If you've had feedback from somebody, or, you know, you've gone to pick him up or whatever, and you've heard people talking about the way he had spoken to them, the missing piece of the puzzle is, what was the scenario? Did he tell someone to get out of the way? You know, perhaps a little more colourfully, because they were in immediate danger and they weren't listening, or they had the radio up and, you know, were just in their own little world. You know, there's a number of ways that you can say, hey.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can escalate. You know, first you can try, hey, be careful, you know, so you don't know how it started and what they actually heard at the end.
I think as well, something to take into consideration in this example is that it may be the norm, or it may be quite acceptable just because it's a construction site. That's how people speak to each other. But again, I guess if someone is feeling bullied or attacked, just because there is a culture of something doesn't mean that it's okay.
No.
So if, for example, your husband were to be, and I'm not saying he is, but if he were to be attacking or aggressive or making someone's life in particular harder than it needs to be.
Intimidating people to to do something.
Yes. Then that's not okay. And Fair Work wouldn't think it's okay either.
No. But I guess to be able to answer your question, I would, based on what you've said, I'm not sure if the two are related. So just because he may be aggressive with his mates or aggressive at home, he may not be that way at work. Mm. He may have a home personality or a home persona and a very different persona. Maybe at work.
That's how he handles it. You know, you can't be on all the time.
Yeah. Or, you know, if, you know, not everyone appreciates it, was that the information that you gave us, if, you know, it's making the rounds and coming to you because people don't want to say anything to him.
Yeah.
Well, then rather, in my opinion, I probably wouldn't say anything to him to inflame it unless I knew the details of what was going on.
Yeah.
I would be more inclined to refer to the person and say, you know, take action.
Mm.
Have you spoken to them about this?
Yeah. And I guess it all comes down, I mean, we can have a conversation about relationships. That's a whole another topic indeed, but it all comes down to how you can communicate with him as well and what your relationship is like.
And relationship advice is not something that you will get on fairwork.gov.au.
No.
Or the ACCC.gov.au.
That's right. There's a number of sites that you can go to for very specific information about conflict management, some tools to help you. I mean, this toolbox of yours is going to get bigger and bigger in terms of management tools. We're going to pop a few on the website, but there is business.gov.au. They've got links to various resources to refer to for complaints and dispute resolution for different states and territories. There's the ACCC website, like you said, Robin, that, among other things, have got an extensive list of government and business associations that can help you with, say, industry-specific stuff about conflict resolution. Fairwork.gov.au, it is very good reading. The Fair Work Ombudsman has a load of useful info about workplace rights and rules. Humanrights.gov.au, people don't usually go to that one. It's the Australian Human Rights Commission, and they've got a website about employer responsibilities and complaint handling, especially for small business, which is really useful. And lastly, particularly for those listening in New South Wales and, of course, Bankstown and Auburn, there's the Small Business New South Wales website, which has very useful information regarding employer responsibilities and particularly when it comes to conflict resolution.
Don't be ignored. Get informed. It's none of our business, all about yours. You've got the information. We'll post it up on the site a little later this evening. That's all for tonight, Pete.
That's a show. It's going to be up on the podcast as of later this evening, so you can listen for the whole week. Tell your friends and family to listen to Business Advisory Community Radio on 2BACRFM. Until next week, people. See you, bye.
See you.
Hello, I'm Luke Simon, Principal and CEO of Bankstown Community College. Our college is an award-winning adult education and training provider offering general interest and nationally accredited courses to the local community. Bankstown Community College is a registered training organisation accredited by the Australian Skills Quality Authority, and its qualifications are recognised across Australia. Our courses include English language, children's services, literacy, beauty, computer training, cake decorating, yoga, photography, languages, and 50 other courses commencing throughout the year. For course information and starting dates, please visit our website at www.bankstowncc.com.au. Catch up with us on Facebook and Twitter, or simply call us on 9793 8155. That's 9793 8155. Bankstown Community College is proud to be a major sponsor of Bankstown Auburn Community Radio.